I want to just quickly share something that I think is somewhat important, not tied to the message. In our lesson helps this morning, the lesson took the words "hold fast to our profession, our confession," and took them and led to some other references there. And I want to just remind us of a couple things that are very, very important in understanding Scripture. The first one is comparing Scripture with Scripture. That's so important. The second one is, let's go to the life of Jesus and see how he lived, because he came to show us the Father. So one of the scriptures that was referenced there in the lesson was, hold fast the traditions. And I'd like to just, because this is something I've been thinking about over the last while, I'd like to just point out something. We're going to compare Scripture with Scripture. So the same man that said that said this in Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So he uses the same word, and in one place it sounds like he's endorsing all tradition. In the other place, it sounds like he's rejecting a lot of tradition. Now, the life of Christ. So, Jesus set us a perfect example. Mark chapter 7, verse 5, the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat bread with unwashing hands? So Jesus gave an example there of rejecting the traditions of the elders. And he also said that what they've done, you should listen to what they say and not listen to what they do in regards to the Pharisees. So just a couple of quick points there for us to pay attention to as we interpret Scripture. Now, I want to read some verses, first of all, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 8. Yeah, you can go ahead and pass out the note papers. Yeah. Paul is talking to Timothy, and he tells him this. He says, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers or share in the sufferings for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not because of our own works, but because of his purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For this cause, because I've been called to this work, I suffer these things. I'm not ashamed. I know whom I believed. I'm convinced that he's able to guard until that day what's been entrusted to me. Hold fast the form of sound words, which you heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwells in us. Now, I'd like to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same you entrust or commit to faithful people. The word men here is the human race, not a gender, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, okay, here's a word therefore. Why is it here for? We go back to what I read that he wrote to Timothy in chapter 1. Because of what he had written to Timothy in chapter 1, he says, now endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. His aim is to please the one who enlisted him or chose him to be a soldier. I'll be quite honest with you this morning. This message is really, really difficult for me to preach. And I say that because as I look at this message, I really don't know much about it. I've read, I've listened to people who have laid down their lives. They have suffered and suffered and suffered and continue to choose suffering for the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I've had a few difficulties I've faced. James and I were in Nepal, and we slept in the attic of a preacher's house there where the boards were far enough apart that rats could go between them. And we were right above his living quarters. We slept there for 4 nights. Hard? No. Enduring suffering? No. And so as I come to this message, I want you to understand that I am not here pointing fingers at you and saying this is, if you feel the Holy Spirit nudging you in something about this message, it's not because I am coming across as someone that has the answers. I'm bringing this message because for two reasons, actually. One reason, I think that we are closer to facing persecution and suffering than what we even begin to recognize. And secondly, it's scripture. It's plain. It's obvious that this is part of spiritual warfare. So I talked about the two kingdoms. I talked about fighting for victory or from victory. And now today I want us to think about this whole thing of enduring hardness as a good soldier. Why did he tell Timothy something like this? Why didn't he tell Timothy, look, you know, when you become a Christian, everything becomes good. You don't have to worry. You just need to have faith and everything will be fine. But that wasn't what happened in Paul's life at all. So I want to ask us some questions. What does it look like to be a good soldier? I want you to give me some answers this morning. What would you say are qualities that need to be in order to be a good soldier? If you're a general in the army, whatever army, and you're looking for people, for men to join you in the fight, what are you going to look for?
Dedication,
commitment, obedience,
courage,
discipline.
Perseverance.
Somebody else was saying something. Thought I heard.
Endurance,
okay. Not
giving up.
Being willing to go into the fight instead of running from it, right? I've read a number of stories about men who laid down their lives for their fellow men, their fellow soldiers. They could have gotten away and not gotten hurt, most likely. But they chose to go into the battle because they had brothers that were there that needed help. So this message this morning is a number of things that I think we need to stop and think about. So what is my attitude toward hardship, toward suffering, toward difficulty? You know what the two main things that American Christians want in a general sense? Happiness, that somewhat. Comfort.
Safety
or security. Those two things are what we are most interested in a general sense. Now, let me ask you something. How many men are you going to choose to go with you to fight an enemy that's not going to give up until they're dead, whose number one and number two purpose in life are comfort and security? How many of those guys you want going with you? I don't want any of them. And I think when we start thinking about this whole thing of spiritual warfare and the battle between God's kingdom and the enemy that is trying to destroy and wreak havoc on God's kingdom, I think that we as God's people, so-called, have in a lot of ways already given up the fight. Because our first choice is comfort and security. And Paul says, look, Timothy, you're going to be a good soldier of Christ. You got to endure hardness. And that's not talking about infighting. That's not what he's talking about at all. He's talking about what happens when we go to war. The kind of sacrifices, the kind of attitudes, the kind of things that have to happen. Warfare is never pretty. I don't know how much you've seen of pictures from battlefields, but it is horrible. Absolutely horrible. There is nothing pretty about warfare at all. And the sad reality is, and we talked about this already, is that so often we as fellow soldiers participate in the harming or the destruction of each other rather than helping each other, encouraging each other, and lifting each other up. Why do you suppose that the Apostle Paul chose this concept, this idea of warfare? Why did he choose this to describe what's going on with us?
He used a lot of different things. If you follow on, or part of what I read there, he talks about athletics. Other places he talks about the farmer. He uses a lot of things for us to compare to and think about to get our wheels turning. But here he's using this idea of warfare. Why do you suppose the Apostle Paul uses warfare to talk about our Christian lives? And to talk to a young minister about what he needs to do with his life, what kind of approach he needs to take to what's coming, to what's going on around him. And another question along with that, why do you think Paul was so concerned that we understand the battle correctly? Can you imagine going to war as a soldier and you get out there on the battlefield and you go this direction and you go through this procedure and all of a sudden you realize, whoa, I am doing the wrong thing. And you're in a terrible predicament. Your life is on the line because you pursued the wrong method and the wrong instruction for that situation. And I think that's exactly why Paul is talking to Timothy. He's preparing Timothy so that he will enter the battle in a proper spirit, in a proper approach, understanding what he's facing, understanding what's coming, and being able to win from that perspective. So here's the take-home question for us. If someone would use some metaphor to describe your Christian experience, what would that metaphor be? A rocking chair Christian? A soldier? A good soldier of Jesus Christ? Would that be a description of you? Somebody that only fights with his fellow soldiers? Somebody that doesn't care how things are going to turn out? It's like, yeah, this is all fun and games. We get to blow up people. Or we get to take out principalities and powers. Or do you want someone to describe you? Would you like to be described as, well done, good and faithful soldier, enter into the joys of your Lord? I think it's important for us to think about. Okay. So we already looked back at chapter 1, and I want us to notice that we often take verse 7 there in chapter 1, where I read that section about how Paul was instructing Timothy. And he's talking about warfare. He's talking about facing things that are going on as a soldier of Jesus Christ. And he says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And we often take that scripture and we pull it out and we use it in whatever way we want to use it. But the focus there is that it's intended towards spiritual warfare. We don't have to be afraid of the enemy. God has not put that fear in us, that we fear the enemy. We fear God. We worship Him. We're in awe before Him. We bow before Him. The enemy, we don't need to fear. There's no purpose. There's no plan in that. The other thing that I want us to notice is in verse 9 there. God's purpose and grace, Paul tells Timothy, was given to him when? before the world began. God's purpose and grace was given for you and I before the world began. So this whole thing of being able to stand as a good soldier is something that God had already worked out before the world began. It's not something that all of a sudden came up and God said, whoa, we got to do something here. We got to get these people so they can fight this enemy for us. Join our battle. Be part of our kingdom. That's an important thing for us to understand. Now, I want us to understand, first of all, how important it is that we have adequate strength to face the enemy. There in verse 1, Paul told Timothy that, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You are not going to be strong. You are not going to be a good soldier. You are not going to win the battle until you enter into grace in Christ Jesus. There is no other way for this battle to be fought successfully. Jeremiah talks about this. I always get a kick out of this verse. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5 says, if you run with the footmen and you got tired, a foot race, what are you going to do when you have to run with horses? Elijah knew about that, didn't he? Elisha, I always get those guys mixed up. He outran the king's horses back to Jezreel. What are you going to do when you have to run with horses? And if in the land of peace, where you trusted, you had difficulty facing things, what are you going to do when things get really bad? So Jeremiah is saying, look, you better be prepared. There's some rough things coming. There's some stuff coming down the road you better be ready for. And that's exactly what Paul is telling Timothy. There's stuff coming down the road. You better make sure you've got what it takes to make it through. To be a successful soldier. To be someone in the army that makes things happen. Again, it's only through the grace that's given us in Christ. I find it interesting that Paul, and I talked about this the other Sunday, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, Paul says that you may know the exceeding greatness of his power to us. The exceeding greatness of his power. And Peter takes up the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, you are kept by the power of God. So Paul is saying, look, you enter this by the grace that is given us in Christ. The power of God. That which God has set forth for us. You and I need to make sure that we are tapped into that grace in Jesus Christ if we are going to win this battle. If we're going to be soldiers that are good soldiers and that are able to endure hardness. We talked, our lesson talked about this morning a little bit about our high priest. And how he learned obedience through the things which he suffered, endured. The rough stuff he went through taught him obedience. He had the strength to go through. He was a good soldier. He was prepared by the grace that he gives to us as well. The other thing that Paul told Timothy is, it is important that you grow others. Someone said that everyone should have a mentor. Everyone should be a mentor. Now, I'm not here to promote our military, but there's one thing that I've noticed as I've looked at leadership and done a bit of teaching and so on, and that is our military does a very good job of making sure that everyone has someone above them that's teaching them, and that these people are teaching someone else. Paul says, you make sure, Timothy, that you pass these things on to others that will be able to pass them on to others. That is so important, so vital. This whole thing of others in the whole thing of fighting warfare. It takes an army to defeat an army. You want to go fight an army by yourself? You want to go fight the Taliban all alone? I don't think anybody is that foolish. No. You want an army, and you want an army of people that you know are committed and are going to go and give it everything they've got to complete the mission. So it's important for us that we grow ourselves and we grow others. As soldiers, one of the aspects of being a good soldier is that thing of passing on what you've learned. Because you may be killed. You may be gone. Who's going to do the job that you're doing? And there's also more battles that'll be being faced in the future. And people need to be ready to face them. So one of our jobs that I'm afraid we often don't do so well at is this whole thing of preparing others to take the responsibility of facing the enemy. Okay. So he says, Timothy, because of the assignment that you've been given, because of the grace that you've been given, because of what God has invested in you and gifted you, you need to endure hardness. Now, what would you describe hardness as what Paul's talking about? If you were to describe what Paul is trying to tell Timothy, enduring hardness, what would you describe? Well, let's just look a little bit. If you went back into chapter 1, verse 8, he said, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me as prisoner. You be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Again, there's that power of God that has to be there for this to be effective. You be willing to be involved in the afflictions, in the suffering, in the hardness that's happening. Here's what Paul says about himself. 2 Timothy 2 verse 9. I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, prison. But the word of God is not bound. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, he says, Timothy, you pay attention. Keep your eyes open. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. It's kind of interesting. We go to James 5 for anointing with oil. But in chapter 5, verse 13 there, he says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Puts it in a new context. Are you afflicted? Are you enduring hardness? Pray. Ask God for what you need. Come to that throne of grace and find mercy and find grace for the time of need. Here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. A good soldier is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And Paul is talking about those imaginations, those things that are exalting themselves against Christ, those things that are causing the hardships, those things that are causing the sufferings that are coming to God's people. Let me just talk about this just a little bit. I didn't put this up here, but you want to get a little idea of what Paul went through as enduring hardness. Just go look at what he says happened to his life. Shipwrecks, beatings, stonings, imprisonments. And he just goes on with a whole list. And you know what he says at the end of those? I count them like garbage. I don't count my life dear to myself. I want to be a good soldier. I want to finish my fight with joy. I want to hear my master, my king, tell me that I have fought a good fight. I finished the course. And now there's laid up for me a crown, a treasure, which he's promised to all those that are good soldiers, that are looking for him to come back again. In verse 4, Paul tells Timothy, you have an audience of one. Timothy, you have one thing that you have got to focus on, that you may please him who has called you to be a soldier. Please him who's called you. We get a little mixed up at times. And it's important that we help each other, that we encourage each other, that we listen to each other, that we give counsel to each other. Those things are all important. But you know, at the end of the day, I'm not going to answer to you, and you're not going to answer to me. I'm going to answer to God. You're going to answer to God. Each of us are going to answer to God. And in that sense, you and I need to have an audience of one. As a soldier, is my commander pleased with me? Will he call me a good soldier? It doesn't matter what, if you call me a good soldier or a bad soldier necessarily. It does matter what he calls me. Because that's going to be the final result. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them. He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Who called them? The King. Who chose them? The King. Who are they faithful to? The King. The king that he's talking about here, those that makes war with the Lamb, this King of kings, Lord of lords, those that are with him are good soldiers. So here's what Paul said, Acts chapter 14, verse 22. He told them, we through much tribulation, through much suffering, much difficulty will enter the kingdom of God. Acts 21:13. He said, why are you trying to break my heart? You cry and cry and cry. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not ready just to go and be bound. I'm ready to die if that's what God wants at this time. So none of these things move me. I don't count my life dear to myself. And here's what he talks about then about himself, 2 Corinthians 6. Approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience in afflictions and necessities and distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. So you're sitting there learning from the Apostle Paul. And he says, you want to be a follower of Christ? Here's what it looks like. You ready to sign on? Or is comfort and security a greater priority? You know, it's interesting. When the early church was experiencing so much persecution, and this is the exact same thing that's happening in our world today. The places where you can die today just because you say the name of Jesus, or just because you're caught with a Bible. Those places, the Word of God, the Gospel is spreading just phenomenally. And here, where we have comfort and security, not so much. Same thing back then. One of the things we have to get into our head is that enduring hardness as a Christian is normal. It's normal. It has not been normal for the last hundreds of years here in our country to endure hardness as a Christian. To be a Christian meant that we were often favored. That's not normal. For most of our world, normal is this. If you become a Christian, it's going to mean that you get the worst job, sewer rat, garbage man, sorry, Craig. Whatever nobody else wants to do, you're going to get that because you're a Christian. You're not going to get paid well. You're not going to have an opportunity for advancement. You're there because you're a Christian. That's normal. That's normal in our world. And along with that, there's a good chance you may die today. Or tomorrow. That's normal. That's normal for Christianity in our world. It's this whole idea of enduring hardness is not this idea of grit your teeth and bear it. Just, you know, I'm going to make it through this. It's this idea that we are patiently accepting reality. And you know, one of the things that amazes me, I've talked to men and women that have suffered for years and years and years and years. And they have had numerous opportunity to come to the United States. And they say, no, not interested. not interested at all. I'm called here. My work is here. And when they do it, they're not gritting their teeth and saying, I'm going to make this happen. They're patiently enduring and choosing to walk on in the path they're walking in. And so when I shared in the beginning, I feel unworthy to even share a message like this, because I'm part of that which is not normal. Peter says 4:12-13, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to come upon you. Fiery trial. You know, there's a lot of people in India, in Uganda, in Nigeria, in Sudan. I could go on and on and on, countries I could name where fiery trial is a reality. They are burned to death almost daily. Peter says, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice inasmuch as you're a partaker in Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Why are they glad? Because they've been good soldiers. They've endured hardness. It's normal. John, this is Jesus speaking. John 15. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Normal. If you were of the world would love you because you're their own. But you're not of the world. I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. So you've got the two kingdoms here. The one kingdom is hated by the other kingdom. The one that's trying to destroy it, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is hated, is despised, is totally rejected by those under the unkingdom, the kingdoms of this world. And Jesus says, don't be surprised at that. Remember what I said. The servant isn't greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they'll keep yours too. I want us to just bow our heads. And I want us to ask the Lord this morning, what needs to change, if there's anything, what needs to change in my life so that I come to think of suffering for Christ as normal? And so that I'm prepared to give up my comfort and my security we say a lot of things pretty glibly. I've done that myself. We talk about, it's this stuff's all gonna burn and blah blah blah. But when it comes down to normal, the way we know it being gone, and fiery trials becoming normal, it's a whole different ball game. And I want us to just ask the Lord this morning, Lord, show me how you want me to prepare, how you want me to change my view of normal, and just make me a good soldier willing to endure hardness for Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. King of kings, Lord of lords, you have called us, you have chosen us, not because we were good soldiers, but because you, by the grace of God, can make us good soldiers. And we confess, we declare that it's only by your grace and your purpose that we are able to be what you would have us to be. And Lord, just this morning, just show us in our own hearts what there is that longs and idolizes comfort and security. And help us, Lord, to prepare our hearts to be willing to face fiery trials, whatever that might be, wherever that might come, so that we might be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, willing to endure hardness. Help us, Lord, that we remember we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not trying to make our fellow soldiers be just like us. But our audience of one is you, and we want to please you. We want to bring you honor and glory, and we want your kingdom to come and your will to be done. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.